You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Support for this podcast comes from the patrons at patreon.com/FMLFBL. I toned it down, you know. It's summer vibes. It's Euros.
You have to tone it down after the music tones it up. You have to find the balance.
Yeah, the music tones it up, and then I don't want to blow everyone's eardrums out. I mean, I kind of do. I kind of don't, but, you know, I'm chilling. I'm in my underwear. I don't need to scream. It's 10:30 at night. I have neighbors.
You do?
Yeah. So.
Okay.
It's Euros, baby.
Euros, baby. We're, recording this on a Monday night. Yep. Have not seen the last two matches. They're tomorrow. Yep. The Hungary, Portugal, France, Germany. So, you know, we kind of talked about this before, but we're going to be a little hamstrung because there's no days off. So,
yeah, we're just not going to be able to.
Yeah, I mean, if anyone's going to listen to this, which, you know, who knows who listens? Fuck, listen to this, are crazy psychos. But, you know, there has to be some time. So it's, you know, we're going to obviously have a lot of caveating with caveat about that one. So,
yeah. Yeah.
But playing with like 75% information. Or
exactly. And we got to do that. So, I mean, we're on 75 points in our shared co-team, but very likely we'll be subbing off a two-pointer and a three-pointer. So we're really on 70 points, but with Bilva and Mbappe left. We're doing well.
Yeah. I mean, we hit a lot of things. Our biggest kind of downfall was the Danish clean wipe on one shot attempt allowed and one goal conceded. And then the Swiss clean wipe also, I mean, we doubled on both and, you know, that also, they had two shots on target, you know, one went in on an unmarked header off a fucking set piece. That was a fucking disaster that they shouldn't have even conceded in the first place. So that was, other than that, we've kind of hit everywhere across the shop, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
We got Schick today, hero. Rom, Insigne, Alaba, and Sabitzer both with assists, even though Alaba is obviously a diabolical pick.
It's like, for 10 minutes of that game, he was a good pick.
No, not even 10, like 2.
Yeah, and for 88 minutes, he was the deepest player on the actual entire pitch, except for the goalkeeper.
And then Hrataki, dude.
I mean, you brought it up to me, which is kind of crazy, is like, all of our projected captaincies, like, all hit.
They've all gotten a return.
Yeah. They've all returned. Every day that we were like, okay, we need a cap for this day, they've all fucking hit, which is crazy.
Yeah, and we stuck on Insigne. I mean, eight, day we one. Just kind of looked at the thing and thought, you know, yeah, I mean, we could stomach not getting a couple extra points if the worst happened and we landed on a two-pointer on Mbappe on the last day.
Right.
And it's, I mean, that's what happened, right? We had Rom the following day get 10 and then Schick today get 11, you know, so we could have gotten a couple extra points, but we just didn't. Felt right. Fine, feels fine, you know, like it.
Yeah, I mean, it's really 4 points lost because we never, ever would have twisted off of Rom. Like, no chance we would have even gotten.
2 points. 2 points lost.
Yeah, 2 points lost. Because we never would have gone to Schick. We obviously wouldn't have gone to Austria and never would have gotten to Mbappe. So it's really not a big deal.
Yeah.
And
yeah, it's 2 points.
Yeah, it's just like a he braced and it's nothing. Like, it's just the bonus and that kind of shit. I mean, like, we talked about a lot before.
And that's the thing, too, with the Rom, right, is that, I mean, he scored a garbage time goal. Yeah. And, you know, you sit there with him on 6 points.
Garbage time if he doesn't get offsides goal.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you're sitting there on 6 points after you twisted off maybe an eight or – and everyone seemed to have an 8 or a 9-pointer pretty much from the Italy game because pretty much every player on Italy that anyone owned got points, right?
Yeah.
But if you're sitting there on 6 and then you're still looking at, oh, well, I still have 3 more options, you know – a lot of people had Kane, a lot of people had Memphis, a lot of people had Spain today, you know, so there are still a lot of people who were, you know, twisting off.
Yeah, I've been seen tons of people on Twitter who are like, kind of prefer failing with one captain as opposed to failing with four straight, like it's down to Rom, Ron or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, and Rom did it, so, you know, you're happy there, but yeah, but it's been fun, you know, watching new games, new teams.
Yeah, it all is really, good. Really fucking fun.
Learning a lot very quickly about who are the wolves and who are the wolves in sheep's clothing and who are the sheep.
We're 5K overall and 72nd in the USA right now. 5K out of 3.25 million people.
All right, let's go.
72nd USA.
It's so deceiving, though, with the subs, like the way it works, because like we have 2 players to play, but if they don't get any returns, then we don't change our points, really, you know, because we're subbing off 5 points.
Yeah,
anyone who's like got that versus like has actual empties and shit,
they're subbing off Alioski for Captain Ronaldo. It's like the something big like difference that.
yeah
that's what I was saying. It's weird even saying like we're on 75 because like we're subtracting 5 points from our team.
We're on 70 with Bilv and Mbappe to go.
Exactly, that's much more accurate. And then so our league, I mean, we had like, 40 people when we potted before the Patreon pod. And we were like, that's fucking embarrassing. We have 847 people now. There's only one sitting on top. It's fucking Luke Thunberg, Thunshot, Insane and De Bruyne. 83 points with Bilv to come in for a 2-pointer. Fucking Luke, dude.
Hey, suck my dick.
Yeah, that's his message to our entire Discord, was suck my dick, fellas, or something. And then he just
with
posted
a screenshot of this fucking thing. Yeah, he'll obviously finish nowhere near first because he's a fucking moron, but we'll see.
I love you,
Thundogger.
Thundinger. I can't believe he hasn't asked us how the substitutions work yet.
He's figured it out from 4 years ago.
He's evolved. He's fucking flying. All right, let's go on.
All right.
Should we start with questions? Yeah, I guess so.
Sure.
Start with questions.
I mean, I could talk about every game for 20 minutes. Like, we could do this for
We're
4 hours.
We're having so much fun.
Yeah. I mean, haven't missed a single game yet.
I haven't missed a minute. I haven't missed an anthem.
I've missed a little bits. I've missed, like, little 20-minute periods Schick's here and there of a few games. I missed Schick's goal, of course.
That's a big one.
Yep.
I posted the screenshot of the text of me just, like, spasming on my keyboard. Like, dude, you just scored from actually 50 yards. Like,
yeah.
And you get the extra cheeky little outside of the box goal point.
Yeah, 11 is so odd to see instead of 10.
We take those. We absolutely take the fuck out of those. So we got some matchday 2 questions. Thunshot and Vax said, what are the best matchday 2 fixtures and teams to exploit for Limitless? UJohn33 said, Turkey and Russia look pathetic in their opening games against strong sides. Is there hope for exploiting their nicer fixtures in matchday 2? And Jeff D, how many and which Ukrainians do you like versus North Macedonia?
Yeah, so, those are good questions. Do you want to start with Russia? Because they play Finland, so that's like...
I know. Well, before the tournament started, I was already thinking, like, Zubov and Golovin nailed matchday 2.
Yeah.
Like, Finland's so bad. Even if Russia looks bad versus Belgium, which obviously they were horrible, I think they'll bounce back, but I don't know. They were so bad.
Yeah, Russia's performance is pretty embarrassing.
They're
I think they were home. Yeah.
I just don't know. I mean, I think one of them...
He subbed the sub off. It's like, what are they doing?
Yeah, I don't know what the hell
he was subbing everyone. It was like a squad. Just every... He was just subbing every 10 minutes. He was making a sub.
And then you look at like, okay, maybe you want one of those two guys. But when you start to break it down versus captaincy... That's when I'm like, yeah, you probably do want one of those guys. Who do you like for a captain on the first day, right? So it's Russia, Finland, Turkey, Wales, Italy, Switzerland. It's really bad for Cap.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely not a Russian player. I feel like Turkey is the biggest like upside gainer in there because, you know, Turkey, as most of us watched that first game of the tournament against Italy, were didn't show up. They didn't do anything.
Yeah, that was but the other half of John's question was Turkey also looking but pathetic.
But I think Wales are fucking dog shit. I thought Wales were like, that is who they are. Like, they did everything they could possibly do against Switzerland, and they were fucking incompetent. And I think that Turkey's gonna beat them. So I feel like a Yilmaz or a... And God knows they didn't fucking do anything in the first week. So I feel like a Yilmaz or a Çalhanoğlu is kind of a cheeky shout for that captaincy.
My cap pick in the tinkers that I sent you was Hradecki. Just straight up 4-0 keeper.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that's the thing to do because I don't think he's going to face enough shots. I mean, but he would have to get a clean with at least six shots to hold on eight.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously punty. If you have other good caps on the other days, though, I just like... Here's my thing with Turkey is I said this before the tournament and I maintain it through
You'd
the tournament so far.
It and not put us.
I just have no idea.
Yeah, they
what
could
the
just
fuck
not,
they're gonna do.
Yeah. They could just not function again.
Yeah, they might just be super defensive bus again,
they
and
were,
no one would be surprised.
They were better when Under got came on. I don't they know. Did. I don't.
Yeah,
I would be surprised
3-0,
if they bus.
They
I mean,
did
they were
some
just
stuff.
They spent but, the entire game all their men in their own half. Like, and Yilmaz
in their own
certainly not
box.
Yeah, I just think that that was a really unfortunate pairing against a team that's so far away and out of their depths. I feel like Wales are just really bad. I think they're one of the worst teams in the tournament, and I feel like Turkey will be able to score a couple against them, and, you know, God knows they're going to be playing for their tournament. They have to win this game.
Yeah, they basically do have to win. I mean, that is a factor. Turkey's interesting. There's Yilmaz, there's Çal. How do you say his name?
Çalhanoğlu.
Çalhanoğlu. They even have like Selik and Tufan and shit. I don't know.
Yeah, I think Spinazzola too is. I mean, one of the biggest gainer. I mean, he was an auxiliary winger. He was not a fullback at all or a wing back. He was just a fucking like forward.
In the final third
of
the entire game. Yeah.
Yeah. He was in the box so many times. He was like very erratic and unpredictable. Like, he didn't know what he was going to do when he got the ball, but he was getting the ball in good positions all game long.
He had
so,
8 touches in the box.
8? Yeah.
8
that's
and,
a lot.
And carried the ball, just meaning like he dribbled from outside to into the box 5 times.
Yeah. So 5 of those 8 times, basically.
He's fucking crazy, though.
Yeah,
that's like
insane. He was
that's
so
like what
good.
Messi does.
Yeah, he was so good. So I think that's also reasonable because Switzerland, they still do have, you know, good defenders, good spine, good goalie. You know, they don't typically get bent over, even though, I mean, Italy were very, very impressive. But I wouldn't really like an Italian attacker in that one.
I don't think so either. It's probably like a 2-0 or something. I would guess.
Yeah, maybe a 2-0, 1-0, something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
The first day is tough,
I mean,
Mbolo's
was really sick, but I still like their attack in general is still very bad.
Yeah.
So.
See, I wasn't even thinking we would have Hradecki, honestly.
Well, I just realized we didn't actually like discuss who's on our team because we did the normal pod, then we did a Patreon pod, and then we haven't this is the first one since the tournament started, so people don't even know who we have. But
I guess you're right, that's a good point.
And so let me just run through the team really quick. So we have Rom.
Do people care?
It doesn't matter. The reason I was gonna bring that up is because I was gonna talk about how we ended up on Hradecki for match day one, which was basically just like, he plays before our chosen keeper that we felt really good about, a clean.
Which was Bachmann on Austria.
Which was Bachmann, LOL. And there's an outside chance of a clean against Denmark. And there's an outside chance that he gets enough saves that even if they don't clean, we might stick on him anyway. And I basically feel the exact same way this week. He's 4-0. He could clean against Russia. He could get 8 saves even if they don't clean against Russia. And then our other keeper is like 4-5 or a 5 that we feel really confident about clean. And it's like yeah, a free hit is the way I kind of think. Yeah, I guess it would
depend on our money situation if we're wild card and are limitless, I guess.
Yes, yes. If you're limitless, of course, you go with two guys that you feel good about cleaning, but yeah. So yeah.
And that's another thing too that we did talk about how Hideki played for, like, there were a lot of people that had Donnarumma and Hideki, right?
Yeah.
Where they got the six in and then they're like, oh, whoops. But you know, getting the free, that's the free hit, is getting your 4 million guy in for playing him first. Cause that's where you could spike something big versus like the reliance of the player that you really want. And if it's the other way around, then it's like you're kind of hamstrung a little
bit. It is really interesting. And I kind of wish we did speak more about it before the game started, because it's also the fact that, like, honestly, twisting from a two-pointer to someone on Finland is like, he could get negative two.
Yeah.
Like, they could just lose 5-0.
Yeah.
You know, and so that is another factor where, like, I was looking at someone like Berardi.
Like, having your good players last. Like, you're selling your good players.
Like, I was looking at someone like Berardi, who was really good against Turkey, and a great match day one pick. We got the team sheet ahead of time. You knew he was starting. I really hate the pick from SJ2, not just because of the Switzerland fixture, but we're not going to get the team sheet. Who knows? Chiesa, whatever. And it's just like the order of your risk is actually really interesting and important, and something that I hadn't thought of.
I agree. Yeah, I agree. No, it is definitely interesting, which may, I mean, the game is just so much better than FPL. It's a joke.
It's a ridiculous thing.
It's ridiculous how much more fun and better it is. It happened with
defenders to, not us, luckily, like with Pat, we got Pau today, but like it happened with people with like Vindal, right? He played, Netherlands played last yesterday, so you don't get the team sheet. They had to make the sub before, you know, the first match, and they just get a one-pointer. And it's like, disaster.
Yeah, I mean, it only needs to happen once for you to realize, like, oh, wait a minute, like, what am I doing?
Yeah, exactly.
Because, you know, we talked a lot about getting players who we feel like are, you know, very important parts of the team, like nailed first name on the team sheet kind of players. And the only risk that we really, in my mind, took was on Pau. And, you know, we got away with that because he started. But he was, and I mean, I was pretty, I think that was like a 90% instead of like 100%. But otherwise, I mean,
that was
we had
COVID one almost more than like his spot in the team. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, looking at the rest of our 15 or our 14 other players, I mean, other than Kier, who subbed off with under extraordinary circumstances, everyone else played like 85 plus minutes on our team, which is so good. Not including Mbappe and Bilv, but we expect that. You know, they're very integral people. When you look around and you see, like, a lot of people had Wijndal and Dinair, right?
Yep.
If you have two players that get zero, you're just like, holy shit.
And
you
know, it really fucks you over. Like, I'm just off the top of my head.
I mean, Arnie didn't start. Yeah, like, Arnie. Obviously, he scored at the death, but terrible pick, didn't start. Like, any player who didn't start was a terrible pick.
Yes.
And, you know, it's important to think about that a little bit more when you're doing this, I believe. I don't know.
Right. So then Thunshot and Vax, this question, best match day two fixtures just overall. Like, what stands out to you when you just look at the matches? And Jeff's question was how many Ukrainians? And so that is definitely one that we agree with. That is a good fixture.
Yeah, I mean, North Macedonia, they were fighting, you know, but they just don't have very good players. I mean, they weren't completely awful, but they just weren't very good. And if they put up a similar performance against Ukraine, I think that
they could score many goals.
Many goals.
One of my biggest takeaways from North Macedonia also is like, they have some good players. Like, they did some good stuff, but they weren't a bus.
No.
Like, that was a false advertising if anyone thought like, oh, they're just gonna park and be horrible. Like, I feel like they're anticipating that this is the last time they'll make the tournament for a long time and Pandev and shit, and they're just going for it, which I respect, but they're probably gonna get destroyed.
Yeah, and I mean, Austria, if the manager made some different decisions, should have had the game won way earlier than they did.
Yes.
But
yeah.
I mean, once the players that were good were in and the things were happening, it was just kind of one-way traffic. And
yeah.
So and Ukraine, very, very impressive, as expected,
mm-hmm.
against Netherlands, because Ukraine are such a good team. Their defense is obviously fucking shocking, and that left side is very bad. But yeah. Luckily, North Macedonia don't really have anyone to exploit it. So
right.
I think that definitely stands out to me. Because, I mean, you're looking for the perfect storm of a team that can attack and is good, a team that's bad and doesn't just park compactly, you know?
Right.
So I think that's one. I am actually interested in England-Scotland, because
yep.
Scotland don't
what'd
seem
you
like...
see there? Yeah.
I don't think that they have the personnel or it's possible for them to be organized and compact and play like defensively. Like, even though they play fucking three center backs, it just seems like they're not good. And even though they do have some household names that we've all been watching for a few years, the sum of their parts is not greater than the parts.
Yeah.
And it
yeah.
seems like they have a lot of individual errors, and the goalkeeper's poor. He's very old and poor. So that's another one where the center backs are very bad. Yeah, they're very bad. And the spine is just rough.
And
McGinn just does the McGinn things. And yeah, they have some players that are very easily exploitable. So that one's a little bit interesting, even though England obviously didn't attack much or create much as we expected against Croatia. But I think that could be a game where, you know, they play into their hands a little bit. Like,
yeah. It's possible. The thing that I hate about that is, like, it depends more on Scotland than it does England.
I know. I agree.
I fucking hate that.
Yeah.
It's so hard to predict what they're going to do, you know?
Yeah. And then, I mean, we still haven't seen Hungary, but we're expecting yeah. Hungary-France to be, you know, another big one. You know, whether or yeah. not, whether you want attackers or defenders, we can't talk about that today. But depending on how Hungary look, you know, we're certainly going to have three French players, but it's a matter of where. So,
we'll, yeah. Yeah.
We'll look at that.
Yeah.
To me, that's it. You know, everything else is like closer to call, you know, not as lopsided in my mind.
What do you think about Spain, Poland?
I think it's just going to be similarly like I think it's going to be like a 2-0 or something.
Yeah. So to me, that's exploitable. Like I want
for defense, maybe.
Yeah.
Sure.
Like two Spanish defenders, probably not a forward because they're just going to rotate and like whatever.
No, two defenders, maybe.
I mean, a lot of people didn't listen to the Patreon episode, but we explained ourselves with Poland and Lewandowski and why we didn't even consider them. And like, we fucking couldn't have called that any cleaner with what they did today. They were fucking awful.
Yeah. And I mean, in fairness,
he couldn't touch the ball.
We've been making some good calls so far to toot our horn a little bit, because it's not often that that's the case. But
so
we've
far,
been
so good.
We've been nailing a lot of things.
We've been even
really
talking
really
about sharing
about
an FPL team. Is how well yeah. it's been going. So we'll see if there's another disaster around the
yeah,
corner.
We'll see
how that changes. But and then yeah. So which Ukrainians are you liking? Was Jeff's question.
Well, and, you know who I was going insane about in chat.
I haven't done a tinker that doesn't have both Yaremchuk and Yarmolenko in it.
Great. I haven't done a tinker yet, so we're rolling off your tinkers.
We're fine today.
Yeah, I mean, that I feel like is
how
the most obvious thing. I kind of also want Malinovsky. I feel like this is like a game for him, because the half space is the possession. Like, I feel like it's going to be there, and I feel like he's going to be able to pull the strings, because they were just countering, right? They all mm-hmm. they could do were hit on the counter, and
yeah,
he got
yeah.
lost.
So
he was just too deep.
I was listening to Totally Football. Anko was on it, and I was enjoying myself, and he was just talking about how it was just like no midfield.
Yeah.
From either team.
I mean,
they were just going box to box to box to box to box.
And that was by design, right? We talked about that. Like, you mentioned how dominant the midfield three, like Darun, Frankie, and Genie is just,
yeah,
you know, that's
so
not a midfield that you're going to be able to dribble or pass or play through. And Ukraine didn't even attempt it, right? They were just kind of, they were parked a little bit, and then they went up. Whenever they did counter, it was kind of through the wings or a long ball. And I mean, that's not Malinovsky's game, you know, so that was a tough game for him. He still got points. He still got an assist, right, on the... Yeah. I'm the thing, so you like that, but he looked very bad. He was very bad in that game.
Yeah,
I think that the Macedonia game's won for him, so I don't really hate having three of them, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, that it's definitely in the mix. I mean, that, okay. See, like, when I was tinkering and not having, like, a turkey mid and stuff like that.
Yeah, you can get these guys.
You can, like, get this and go harder on what you believe, you know what I mean?
I like that. No, when you said that, it made a lot of sense to me. About, like, we're still having doubts about turkey. It's still, like, you're looking for the best case scenario instead of, like, feeling more. I don't feel confident.
Whereas what Ukraine, we're like, they're going to go all out and have to win and... Yeah, which I love.
They're going to score a few because that's what they're about. But what about Zinchenko? Because I feel like even North Macedonia is going to score against them. They're fucking so bad.
That's kind of how I felt. It's like they're probably still going to concede, so I'm not sure. The one thing is like, oh no, he's a defender. Never mind. I forgot. I was like, maybe he's a mid, but yeah, it's just so hard to pay 5-5 and be like, he's probably not going to keep it clean and he's probably not going to get an attacking return. So what are we talking about there?
All right.
Some other questions. We got some like limitless questions, which we don't even know which one we're doing yet. But Rory said, could you touch a bit on game theory with strikers on limitless match day 2? I'm currently on Mbappe, Kane, Graves. Does this provide the optimal value due to only being able to captain one of the Frenchies? Or is it better to include a Lukaku for a captain that day? And then Biletico followed up. He said, related to the question above, I don't care much about when to use limitless, but how. What do you all see as the best strategy to maximize use of the limitless ship? Do you bet on one or two cleans and load up on defenders from those teams, or go all premium, like spread out? So curious what you thought about that.
Well, I mean, first of all, I think the way of looking at it from the first question is I would look at it a different way and not, you know, two strikers on the same team, so I can't captain like the striker spot. It's more about the days, right? So, I mean, if you have a good midfielder on the other days, it's just about covering yourself for the 4 days.
Yeah,
so
that's
that. And if you think that, you know, the France attack is where you want to be and you have a midfielder instead of, you know, Belgium on their day, like you're happy to captain Yarmolenko, then it doesn't matter, right? If you don't have, so that's one thing. But I think in terms of, you know, how to best maximize it, obviously getting an unlimited budget allows you to get more expensive players in your team, right? That's the point. So if you're seeing all these like 4 or 5 defender value picks, then you probably shouldn't use it.
Yeah.
Right. Cause you know, or if you're seeing all these like 7-5 or 6-5 million midfielders, you're like, oh, they have a good fixture. They look good in the first game. Like I think that they'll play well and you don't need to get, you know, all 10 million plus players, then. Or rather, you create both of those teams and you say, like, which is better? Or, you know, which do I like more? And if it's not enough more, then you go with the cheaper one, whatever. Because whenever you play the limitless, it's going to be good. You know, it's just a good option to have. Even if your budget's 101 or 112, you know, it's still going to be better than what you come up with. Otherwise, it's just about, like, how much better and, you know, when you want that flexibility. You know, again, right, there's no correct answer, right answer here. It's just kind of how you're viewing the game and, you know, when you want to back yourself. Because what we've talked about this, right, about using both chips is that we are very conscious and aware of the fact that we're going to be weak to that switch between the 16 to the quarters, right, where we only have a few transfers. So we're just going to feel like we have a good enough read on the games that we're going to be able to pick the winners. Yeah. And we're going to be able to put them in our team and that's it. You know, and minimize our risk to being allowed that, you know, the few transfers that the game gives us, we're not going to need a chip to pick it all up. And that's how we're doing it. You know, you might decide, like, you know, actually, even though you feel like you could call the games, you know, you don't want to go that way. You want to save the chip for then.
Too risky. Yeah.
Yeah. It's too risky, which is fair. You know, there's no
totally
right.
Fine. Again, this it's isn't definitely like right risky.
Yeah. It's just about evaluating or thinking about, you know, what's going into the decision-making process with that for you. So, you know, whenever you use a limitless chip, it's good.
Yeah, the thing with the days, the first thing you said, I think is like something that we just kind of naturally did. And maybe, you know, we have more experience in these types of games, I think, than a lot of people playing. It seems like a lot of people are playing for the first time on Discord and stuff and like don't even know the rules. But I do think the days is the best way to build your team first. Yeah. It's just the foundation to everything.
Yeah, and the four players you're captaining on the 4 days.
Exactly. And then you have the freedom with your limitless to be like, just straight up, who do you think's better between Griezmann and Immobile? Like, or Rom or whatever. It doesn't matter at that point. You just pick the better one once you have your caps.
And that's what we went through. Like, with our team, with game week 1, was the Bilv spot. 8-5 mid, there was no scenario where the player we put in this spot was going to be a captain over someone else in our team. And we were just like, who's going to get the most points for his spot?
Yep.
And we went through all of the different players and games and shit. And that's who we decided. It's Bill. It's going to be our pick for that guy. And when you can do that and kind of take away the clutter, then you can have the double French strikers, you know, and it's fine. Right,
exactly.
Like, if that striker spot's the spot you're playing with, you just look at it in the one game vacuum. Who do I think is going to get the most points? And you just go for it.
Yep. And then Hemdog, another limitless question. He said, what are your thoughts on Rom versus Denmark? Despite the loss, they only conceded one shot. That's Denmark. Or do we factor in the absence of Eriksson and the hammer blow of losing at home to Finland, amongst other things, and the fact that they're playing one of the best strikers on earth? And also, shout out to Eriksson, which was like the most traumatizing thing I've ever watched on TV. And very happy that he's okay.
Me too. Yeah. I don't really want to spend time talking about that.
No.
I'm like totally no interest in any Belgian players for this game. I think that was... So one thing that is a little bit tricky with this is Kevin wasn't playing, right? Which was noticeable. And he's maybe going to start game week two. Maybe. We don't know. You know, he just came back to training a couple days ago, so he might not, but... For as bad as Russia were, I mean, Belgium had absolutely no interest in scoring goals in this game after they won. They had the game won at 1-0. It was pretty clear. And, you know, the third was in garbage time. The second was just, you know, it just kind of happened. But they just were like, I was watching Brodge, like the meaningless recycling of possession for 75 minutes, basically. If that's what he's doing to conserve energy and just, you know, do it, like they score their first off again, right? They didn't create any chances. Russia created all their chances.
Yeah.
They just were capitalizing on errors and then just kind of sitting back and letting the game finish and peter out. I just don't have any faith in them doing something different, I guess. Like, I mean, they just didn't do it against Russia. So why are they going to, unlike Ukraine, right, who are just nonstop attack. Like Belgium, I think will win the game, but you know, they score their first goal. I don't think it's going to be like a pumping.
Yeah.
And Denmark, you know, again, we don't know the psychological effects or the, you know, the morale and the things. I mean, the game's still in Copenhagen. They're obviously going to be fighting hard after losing 1-0. You know, they don't want to go out of the tournament after the first two games if they lose. You know, there's not a lot of upside. There's not a lot of reason for me to believe that, you know, Belgian players are good picks in this game.
It's basically how I feel. Yeah. I mean, love the fuck out of Rom. Like, rate him super fucking highly. Like, people shouldn't take it like that. But yeah, it just seems like a low upside. I mean, Denmark were very good and clean for the majority of the thing. The game restarting and all of that fucking shit was just so bizarre. And they can see the one shot and Schmeichs has a howler who knows where he was at mentally. It's just bad.
I want no part of it. I don't want a single player in the game.
Factor is just so important too. Like if we knew he was 100%, then they're a different team, obviously, with Kev, you know.
Has also did sub on and he was just dribbling everyone at will. Like, it was nuts.
Oh really?
I mean, he came on and was just doing like something. Yeah, it was. I mean, he didn't need to take on the fourth guy, and then he would turn it over. But he was like fucking on it. Like, he was old Haz to me. Yeah. So that's an interesting one to keep an eye on. But
definitely keep an eye on his fitness. Yeah. I guess if he can do more than 15 minutes, we'll see.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the only other thing I would guess outside wide shout on Belgium would be Meunier. Right? I mean, if Castanz is actually going to miss out, which I'm sure he will, right?
He's out for the tournament.
I mean, he's a wing back who attacks, obviously got a goal and an assist. And I mean, that's probably fine. I mean, they don't have Eriksson. They shouldn't really function or be too attacking. I could see a clean there. I mean, I could see like a 1-0 Belgium or something.
Yeah, even though I don't like their defense with no Eriksson, it's just hard to imagine.
Dude, you know what? Boyata was really good.
Yeah, Boyata was good.
Amazing.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Like, he just completely did the job against Zuba. Yeah, out of nowhere. I never really remember watching Boyata and be like, wow, he's good. He was 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
I thought he was immaculate. He was so it was just him isolated on Zuba. He was fucking beasting him.
Yeah.
It was great. He was great.
And another thing on Meunier is like, he has previous. He's always done the job in every international game we've ever played. He's always been good. So
it is very tilting that people like He was
it's fucking beyond tilting.
Horrendous pick for the game we won, and he
also
was in
gets
Adam.
The clean.
Yeah, no,
it's like
triple
not
return.
Even. It's not even just he came on and got two attacking returns. Yeah, no, he came on in nuts. Time to also get a clean. So like, fuck yeah, off.
That was
dude.
Like with him, and that's why I was like, oh wow, like Wyndal subbed on with 20 minutes. I was like, he's gonna just do it because
I know
we had Arnie and we had. I mean, no, I think that was really just in our Discord because I don't think anyone had. But yeah, the Mounier thing was like, holy shit, of course.
Yeah, of course, of course.
What do you think about the Netherlands Austria game? I think that's gonna be an interesting one. What do you think about Dumfries?
Okay. He's actually important to talk about. I think he is a really good pick. I mean...
Really good pick.
Yeah.
Even though they're going to play Arnie.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I don't trust them for cleans. I don't really trust Belgium for cleans. I don't trust a lot of teams for cleans, but he was fucking winger. Like, he...
Yeah, other than Spinazzola, I think he was the second, like, most attacking...
Dude,
he was more
attacking because he was getting shots also.
Yeah.
He had two monster chances. Like
he should have scored.
Yeah, he should have braced.
Yeah.
And he only got one.
Yeah, he should have scored. Yeah, he missed like easier chances.
He had 9 touches in the box, 0.5 XG, which is ridiculous for a defender.
So is he
absolutely
in our
ridiculous.
Tankers? Have you been
he's been in.
They're not gonna clean that though.
That's the thing that
that's
sucks.
That's why I hate that, though, because I hate for one game, like, to bank on an attacking return from
it feels so bad. But, yeah, I mean, like, him versus someone like Mounier is actually interesting. Mounier, probably a better pick. Honestly, for one game, I feel
I
trust the clean a lot more.
I agree.
It's just
agree
like Austria are also a mess. It might just be another fucking 3-2 or something, and he just gets, like, 2 assists or something. I don't know. It's very bizarre. De Boer.
Austria are going to be a really difficult one because if they play the players in better places, like where they're supposed to, then that game could be like really.
We'll see,
intense.
Though. I mean, assuming their manager has any brains is a big assumption, also because of
what he did with Alaba was fireable.
And keeping
Lameron
and shit. It's like, dude.
Yeah. I mean, I also still feel like the England-Scotland... I don't know if that's like too nuts of a game for to think of a clean because it's going to be in Glasgow. It's England.
I have
like,
fucked
is that
around
insane?
With trips.
Yeah.
Like, he's cheap. He's on some set pieces.
Yeah, I mean, I like that.
Probably good for a clean. Could get an attack and return. Like, dude, he's such a good player. Like, do you remember we used to make so much fun of him and shit?
Yeah, he's good.
He's just good.
He's good.
He's just good. There's no other way to put it.
He's so good at right back. He's playing left back.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what he's doing.
Like, we used to make fun of like him when he was on Burnley and shit. Like, yeah. I don't know. He's just gotten so much better.
But I mean, then we also have the Spain, Poland, France, Hungary. I don't know. I mean, we have to pick 5 defenders. So
yeah,
I don't know. I don't think Dumfries is going to make the cut, to be honest with you.
Probably not. But for people who aren't wildcarding, etc., I don't know. He's certainly
he's
interesting.
Yeah, he's fun.
He also scores a lot of goals, like in his normal club campaign. Like he plays in Eredivisie and shit, but like. His name is fucking Denzel Dumfries. He scores for fun. Like he had 2 goals, 6 assists this season. It's 7 goals, 3 assists the season before. 4 goals, 3 goals. Like he is a donger. So,
he fucks.
Yeah, he fucks. That's for sure.
Dumfries.
Speaking of England trips, whatever. Vax said, how much do you think Southgate rotates? Is it worth it to triple up on England for limitless match day 2? And if so, who? And Bedside Blake said, is England versus Scotland a full stay away if you're on Limitless? It seems like a game that'll have more cards than goals, plus the prospect of Southgate rotating.
What is all this rotation talk? Where's it coming from?
I think they're just speculating that they have like tons of attackers to choose from.
I don't get that at all.
Yeah.
I expect like the exact same team.
Yeah, probably exact same.
I think that doesn't make any sense to me. The rotation's going to come when they're through. You know what I mean? He clearly picked the team. They were in cruise control. They won the game. It's not like, okay, these 3 changes. You know,
the rotation's going to come in match day 3.
when they have 6 points.
Back.
Yeah. And I honestly, though, I don't... I'm That's why these are really hard. That's why the international games, like the games in Glasgow and Scotland, are just fucking.
They're gonna go all out ballistic.
They're gonna go nuts, but they were just like all out attack insanity today against Czech Republic and the better team for most of the game. I mean, Czech Republic score against their own play in the first half, and then they score from the fucking halfway line. It was a very shit. They were getting battered.
It was a very Neil moment I had when I was like, Czech Republic were just better in both boxes. And I was just like, whoa, that's a nihilism right there.
That is a nihilism. But it's true, right? I mean, and then he subs off their best player or their best attacker at halftime. Christie came out. The Scotland manager.
Clark is fucking stupid. Yeah, he's stupid.
It's rough. But I mean, if Scotland do the same thing that they did against Czech Republic, they're going to fucking disassemble.
They're literally going to be scary. Five.
But this is my thing with them is like, if they really do turtle and they, you know, make McGinn play, you know, the whole game in his own third and shit, like.
They're still going to concede.
They don't have like out balls. I don't know how they function. You know, I mean,
they're going to go long and hope Che and fucking Dykes can make it stick and hold up for like the McGinn-Robbo runs.
It's just not going to work. It's just not going to work. Stones is going to just step in front of them and win it clean every time.
Mings wins those headers all day, every day.
All day, yes.
Not to mention Declan and Calvin, like our big boys.
Because Croatia, what they did is what we were talking about, right? That we didn't think England would create against them because they have good... like old hand, well organized team, and they were that. Yep. They didn't create anything at all. You know, they were definitely the worst team, but they were clogging up the spaces and the passing lanes, and there just wasn't anything to do.
Yeah,
I don't know. That's why I'm like, I still feel like even though Kane was the second worst player on the pitch for England, I feel like Kane is just like, how is Kane not going to like fucking fuck them?
It's also the day for me, Clive. It's just that day, right? Who are we capping?
Yeah.
Sweden, Slovakia, Croatia, Czech Republic, or England, Scotland?
We would have to go rogue on like Isak or
Forsberg. I was thinking it was like even a Swedish defender, maybe. Like this Swedish dude, Victor, wrote in and was saying Marcus Danielsson for Sweden scores goals for fun in club. I'm like, I guess. But like, you really want the second to last day to potentially be like a Swedish defender some shit when Kane is there and everyone's going to own him and cap him? Like, it's hard to not have Kane.
Kane feels pretty.
Last week. We made a good case for him. We made a good case for not owning him, though. And I, you know, obviously it came through. He did have a sitter, though, that we got away with.
Yeah.
But this week, I just don't really see the case for not owning him.
I don't either.
I can't really make the case. That day, it's just the day.
I also think it's that I think he's going to fucking put them to the sword. I don't think that they have anyone on that team that can deal with him.
Yeah. They don't. Yeah.
They don't. The spine is weak, and he's going to just do it.
He loves a weak spine.
Yeah.
Weak ankles, weak spine. That's his bread and butter. I think Raz is fine, too. I mean, Southgate, he's obviously Southgate's boy, and he's good.
Yeah,
Peter Lespin said, if Killian and Hernandez are locks, who's your best third France? So we just got to talk about France. Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
First of all, we're playing with, you know, an incomplete deck. Obviously, we mentioned that already. We have no idea what Hungary are going to look like, and it doesn't really matter what France look like because we know what they are. And way, way more matters what Hungary do. If they attack, if they're open, like if they're going to get fucked, we're probably going to have to get some French attackers. But my read in Tinkers and whatnot was just like, I just want triple French defense. We know that they're a bus. They have no interest in overextending or creating once they get their one goal lead, which they'll get. I'm not worried about that. And the clean is, I mean, you can't get a more secure clean than that in the entire tournament. It won't happen.
Except for maybe Portugal-Hungary.
Right. I mean, it's like with Conte, Tolisso, their back line, Hugo, it's just like, the way they play, like, it's a joke. Yeah. Like, it shouldn't just be the simplest clean of all time.
Yeah, I agree. And again, we need to see, you know, what Hungary do. You know, when they go down 1-0 after 25 minutes to Portugal, like, what do they do?
Yeah, exactly.
That matters. And I like also the triple French, you know, maybe double with an attack, because, you know, captaining, if you are going down to the last day, captaining a defender there feels very fine. Like it always feels fine if you've been twisting for a few days and you've been not getting luck, to just be like, you know what? If I get 6 points, that's fine versus
totally fine.
Because if you're viewing it like they're starting with six, because that's what's happening, versus something like Mbappe who has to go get the six.
Yeah.
You know, Pavard always has an eye for goal, even maybe a center back, you know, something like that. So I like that idea, and I don't mind the triple defense, but we'll see. Yeah, Mbappe.
The other thing, I guess, that we're watching out for is also just like, what if Germany wins? You know, it's in Munich. France,
yeah.
Then it's like, okay, all of a sudden it's like must win, and maybe they'll attack more, and I don't know, but that's kind of like a...
That's getting ahead of ourselves.
But that's my initial read on the game, is this is not a team that's going to attack, and they want to just win 1-0 and chill, and it's going to be a really boring, nothing happening game where they just dominate in all, you know, facets and just hold the ball and don't do anything. Yeah. So.
Yeah, I agree. I wanted to come back, actually, though, because now that we're kind of talking about this and kind of pinpointing a few different fixtures, what about, you know, spreading it around a little bit more instead of lumping it all in? Because when you do get five subs and you can kind of spread them around the days, you know, maybe it does make a little bit more sense to not put so many eggs in one basket.
Just like game theory wise, you mean?
Yeah, because if you're looking at like, you know, okay, Italy have a really good shot, you know, of a clean, you know, fucking Spain have a really good shot, England have a really good shot, France have a really good shot.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we've been watching this game week come to pass, you know, and all of the top defenses cleaned, really. I mean, we saw Italy, we saw England, we saw Spain, right? I mean,
yeah,
maybe there's something to that.
It's all the, like, big favorites.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean...
Or it doesn't matter. I might be just on
well, I feel on like, nothing here. I feel like it doesn't matter in the sense of, like, I don't know. It's kind of an interesting thing to think about. Because what I'm thinking about now, just looking at it, is like, I guess if we're in the position where we don't have blankers to sub off, and that's good anyway, so like, who cares about that, right?
Yeah.
But yeah. I don't know if it matters. I just don't know if it matters.
Okay.
I mean, the one thing that I'm thinking is like, cleans are out of the player's control sometimes.
Yeah.
They just get a pen. They get a deflection. Yeah. They get a fucking own goal. They get some freak shit. You want to like not lump everything on that one team getting that, you know? But at the same time, I'm just like, yeah, but like if they just have the ball the whole time and don't let up any shots, then like, you know, it's like when Man City were rolling midseason. Just like there's just that there aren't the opportunities of variance.
I think that where I'm thinking about it more is like, if we are looking at, you know, four teams, like if we could put them in our palm and they're all like within a percentage point where it's like too close to call, like they're all probably looking really good for a clean.
Yeah.
Maybe it's better to spread it around. I'm saying, because if you put all your bets on two of the teams and one of them don't clean or two of them don't clean, you're already like putting a blanker in your 11 with the subs, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe they all clean it. It doesn't matter. But,
I guess the thing for me is like, that's if you think that the cleans are close. Maybe I kind of do.
Like Italy, really Switzerland, England, Scotland, Spain, Poland, for example. I think those are all like really close to call. Like, I think they're all very,
but I think France is a tier above all of us.
Yeah, which is why I didn't mention them.
Yeah.
But I'm just talking about that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So maybe it's just like 1-1-1 is better.
I mean, yeah.
Like, what's the upside in going 2-1 instead of 1-1-1?
Right. Yeah. No, I think that's probably right. And that is like limiting that variance thing and sub and using the subs to your full power and stuff. Yeah, I mean, that sounds good.
Okay. The game is still in Hungary, though.
Yep. It so, is. And again, that's another thing we're scouting tomorrow. If it's the fucking most raucous, insane environment, okay.
Then we're pivoting. Back off.
And this is also, like, a lot of people are asking if we're using Limitless or Wildcard. This also has a massive effect on that. Because if we end up triple France D or whatever, that means we're not having 12 million Mbappe or 11 million Griezmann, et cetera. So we don't really need to Limitless, probably, with, like, just by talking so far.
I think it'd be hard to Limitless.
Yeah, like, just what we've even said this pod so far.
We want, like, all Ukrainian attackers are, like, 7 million or
whatever. Yeah, like, Belgium is 4 or 5. And
Netherlands, we're not too interested in. Like, yeah, those are the expensive ones.
Yeah, so that's a big factor, too.
Spain should have conceded today, though, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Can I get a hell yes? Said thoughts on Dumfries, so we did that. Cammy said, sure, you'll touch on this tangentially, but what teams had score lines that didn't look bad, but they're actually targetable moving forward?
So, I mean, Wales, again, stands out to me. I mean, Wales, the 1-1 to Switzerland. Wales were very, very, very poor to me.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise,
I mean, I'm... Slovakia.
They're bad. They're fucking badass team. They're fucking bad.
They have a lot of decent players, and they played fine, but, like, Poland are really bad.
Slovakia should get ripped to shreds by a good side. Unfortunately, you know, Sweden are not that.
Yeah.
Spain should win the next two
Czech
games.
Republic conceded 2 XG to Scotland.
Yeah, they were all sorts.
Scotland could have scored 3 goals, no question. So yeah, that's another one that I think is deceptive.
Yeah, that's a good shout.
And Austria too, we've mentioned, like, they were sloppy as fuck. Their midfield was awful. Center back mistakes, keeper error, like, all over the place. They won 3-1, but they're not that.
Worst player performance of the tournament was Limer, right?
Oh my fucking God, dude.
That was
so
just
bad.
Remarkable. And he didn't sub him. Never took him off.
And I think he got an assist also.
Did he really?
Assist of the tournament. The assist to Schick's goal. Did you see that?
The soup check, yeah.
He blocks a shot.
Easy.
Assist.
Dude, soup check, too big to fail. That was FPL vibes. That was an FPL vibe.
Yeah, it was. Everyone's getting like...
He was so far away from the world of points, and then that's how he gets points.
It would have to be a week where, like, Spurs aren't playing, so no one has Kane.
Yeah.
And everyone's just like, I guess I'll just start soup, and then that's how he gets his points. And we're just like, oh, cool. Life is good.
Because his ownership was high.
8%.
Yeah, it was high. Dude, that's insanely
FPL
high.
Freaks.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, wait, he didn't get an assist in the game.
Actually?
Yeah. Got fucked.
That's amazing. Get fucked.
That's amazing.
Absolutely
get
wrecked.
Absolutely fucked.
if you
had Alaba.
My number one hope is that, like, everyone subs in Loic Nago or whatever, the guy that everyone owns,
oh,
the hungry
that'd be
for,
so good.
And he just somehow gets a red card or something. Just, like, please sub him in. Like, it's just, like, a ridiculous banter thing. And then last question was Mishka. He said...
What's Mish up to?
Yeah, I don't know. Shout out to Michigan. He said, I wasn't sure if I should ask about Paul being essential or Arnie. So, yeah, let's talk about Arnie. Fucking racist Arnie. I don't even know if it's racist. Whatever it is.
I don't want to touch that one.
Yeah.
On air. If you want some talk about that, join our Discord.
It's more racy than racist. He's just fiery Arnie. Fucking all the wives and mothers.
No, we have the FMLFPL LLC Corporation has no official position on this matter.
Yeah, all thoughts are my own.
I
mean, Arnie is a fucking great player. He came
player
on and
pick. Came
shredded
on
for fun.
He's
so good.
He was peacocking as he always does.
So good.
Netherlands, that game's going to be interesting. I really don't know how to call it. I feel like
that's what one thing I do think. I think there's goals to be had for both
teams.
Yeah,
I mean, again, it feels... Austria's midfield, that three, Schlager, Limer, and Ulmer, or whoever the third one.
Ulmer,
it was. They were playing against Farmers. It was unspeakable. Like, they couldn't. They were so horrific.
Yeah, it was insane.
It's like.
It was
Ukraine
so
have,
aggravating. It was.
Yeah, and it's just whatever. But, like, they're going to be playing against the same three against the other ones that we talked about earlier, right? Against Ukraine. Like, are they going to try and lump over the top to try and get Arnie in behind? Because Sabitzer's probably going to be killing himself trying to press and not get the ball the whole time. He's really good, dude.
Psycho.
He's a fucking So you see why I like him.
Yeah.
Like watching him.
Full on sprint the entire game.
Yeah. Somehow didn't get a card.
He earned a card.
6 cards. He was going insane. So, but like Ukraine have like some skill players up there. Like, you know, I don't know if they're going to use the same blueprint Austria to try and do the same thing to Netherlands to score, but I just feel like that they might not even be able to. I mean, that could be not competitive.
We
might be sleeping on Netherlands a little bit in this one. Like, I could see Memphis squeaking in. I don't know.
I still think Austria score, though, just on the counter with their few good guys. One or two times, they're going to get huge amounts of space, and it's just Sabitzer, Baumgartner, Arnie running at, you know, fucking Blind and DeVry or whatever, and they just make something happen. There's just so much space for Ukraine.
I don't know how to call it. I don't know how to call that. But honestly,
I think it's a because
the Austria North Macedonia game was like the training ground for the Netherlands game because he was like taking them for granted of like we could do anything.
That's true.
And he's playing this formation to try and match fucking idiot Frank or something. And yeah,
there's so many unknowns.
Very weird, very red herring. And I mean, if he does start with Arnie and JWP's clone Grigoric instead of that fucking idiot Baumgartner, was so wasteful. He was like actually
be on the wing. Yeah,
Olmo was reminding me of Baumgartner. Just like they were relying so much on him, and he couldn't do anything.
What's the big difference? Austria manager rips Baumgartner off on like the 55th minute or something.
Olmo plays 90. Yeah, Olmo was so fucking horrible today. Holy shit! Big difference. I don't know. That game's going to be interesting. I'm very excited to watch it.
I kind of like at his price to score. I'm not going to
watch that game. Fuck! It's on Thursday.
That's my
work. All right.
But, and then Hildebeest asked about captains, but I guess we'll just go to captains. Is there something else you want to focus on? There's so much fucking action.
I mean, we could keep going, but I think we should probably move on.
Yeah, let's talk about our team that we have to finalize basically tomorrow night.
Jesus Christ. Is that 6 a.m. on Wednesday. Yeah, we have to... Tomorrow night when we go to bed, we have to have it
locked in. I'll be up to, you know, make sure the lineup or whatever, but...
Well, we won't have anyone in that game, so it won't matter.
True. So, yeah, let's just do it like we did it, right? And go by captains. I mean, we've kind of done it a little bit already, I think. But, so day one, where are you at?
I think Spinach Gorgonzola.
Spinach Gorgonzola. I hope that catches on.
I do. I don't know.
I agree that he's a better cap than Hradecki. I guess if it's just like, if it's worth it, but let's put him in.
I think we're going to have to do the numbers on the defense because if we could stick in a Turkey attacker and not give up too much, I feel like there's the chance that that's just like a fucking.
Yeah, I mean, before the tournament, I was like, looking at Turkey legit, you know, like not just Yilmaz, like Çalhanoğlu, Tufan scores goals. Yeah. What's that guy that Nate had? Yazici or whatever? Yaziki, like he scores goals. Like he's on Lille. Selick on Lille, etc. Yeah. You know, like I'm like, yeah, they have a lot of guys, but yeah, I just don't know. But yeah, okay.
Spinach is like, his ceiling is basically what we just saw, like 9, which is great. You stick on 9, but that's, you know, if he gets 6, we're twisting.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So, I think
six is a for sure twist, yeah.
Yeah, especially on the first day. So it's basically like, do you think that he's going to get an attacking return is more likely than double return on Çalhanoğlu or Yilmaz? I don't know.
I think
that's close.
Spinach is probably closer.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay. Swiss, they know how to park.
I know. I'm just saying what I think is closer. Okay. It's just hard for me to watch that Turkey game and be like, yeah, double return.
Yeah. No,
like,
that's
double return's a big ask.
Yeah. Yeah.
If they put a few good moves together and...
Yeah, no, they didn't do anything.
Yeah. You know,
I gotcha. Okay.
But I'm also not opposed to just Hradecki. Our only punt on cap for the entire match day, and like if we feel like we need the money or want different players in different places or whatever, you know, like I just don't think that's bad.
I guess you'd have to sell me on the other five defenders being like that much better than Spinachman.
Yeah, that's
which doesn't true. Also make sense in my that head doesn't that,
make
much,
sense.
But
that doesn't make sense.
Because having, I mean, Italy was.
It feels bad to not have Insigne, but let's not talk about it.
We might. I mean, we could. Might. We could have him.
He's so good,
dude. Oh my God, he's so unreal.
He has like
him.
Player of the tournament potential.
Yeah,
like,
he's so good.
Fucking hell. And like,
we could go there. We could go there.
He missed that
and
curler
him.
In the first half.
Yeah.
And
I
then
know,
scores
I
from the exact same spot. And like, everyone on every Serie A Ultra on Twitter was like, seeing Insigne score from the Insigne spot. And I was just like, I love that. I fucking love that.
I mean, we could just also do, I mean, we could have both him and Spinach, you know, and just stay with him. I mean, we could just reward him for.
Yeah. Good
what
service.
He did for us already. You know, I like that.
And
he knows,
Italy is fucking awesome.
Yeah. Italy's awesome. And he knows like how important he is to us. He knows he's in our team. You know, we capped him and he knows that
he drove
he does
onto
directly
the pitch
affects
in that little car.
He drove on his own car. He brought his own car from his house. He let the world see it.
So good. I love a sport where normal size and undersized humans play a big role.
It's great. How many Mugsy Bogues are there? There's one.
There's one
Mugsy Bogues. And that was like 30 years ago.
Yeah, that's it.
There's a Mugsy Bogues in every game.
Every game. It's fucking awesome.
All right, day two. So that's the Ukraine lot of action.
So obviously we like Ukraine.
Yeah.
And I feel totally good. I feel great capping the Ukrainians.
That's gonna be a difficult one.
Which one?
Yeah.
It's definitely not Malinovsky.
I think it's gotta be Yarmo.
It's Chuck or Yarmo.
I think the extra point for the midfield goals plus the pens are like very, very
plus
enticing.
A clean is not out of the picture. It's North Macedonia.
No, yeah.
So that is also a thing. And pens, I think. Did you say that?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So
I am a little bit worried, like, can Yarmo play two games in a week?
It's a big ask for him.
Has he ever done that?
Did he play 90? He played 90 too. When's the last time he did 90-90?
That's what I'm saying. Even though it's in a week, which is normal. Like, it's like a normal rest period.
We need to look that up. I think
he'll probably be able to not have to expend too much energy in this game, though, because they should kind of just be in, you know?
I think there's no chance that he would have done it this season, because he barely
played. Was Yaremchuk. He is so
sexy.
Good.
So
He's
sexy.
So good.
Okay, he did a back-to-back 90 this season.
In like what,
I feel
November?
Good. Yeah, it was September 22nd and September 30th. Third round and fourth round of the EFL Cup, baby.
It was 10 months ago.
They needed him. They needed him. Yeah, he braced Hull, and then they got fucked by Everton. He showed the world that he could do it. Yeah, Yaremchuk was so good.
He's
like there's
player.
It's so nice when there's like
that's why it's
all
fun.
These
that's
prospects
the
and
good.
Shit.
Yeah, seeing that, players that we've never seen before really that much.
And like I've been tweeting about it and shouting it out a lot because it's the type of thing that I really like. But the Athletics radar thing was really cool. Like I would just like control F before the games and just be like, oh, are there any like Slovaks that I don't know? And I'm like, oh, this guy sounds really cool, you know? Yeah. And Yaremchuk and Bolo and like other standout guys. It was just like, that's awesome. And
that was one of the biggest surprise performances of the tournament.
And
to Bolo
was unreal.
Yeah. I mean, I've never seen him play well before.
He had such a weird like career arc.
I mean, he's just like Gladbach backup.
Yeah. But not this season. He had like a prospect season because he's still only 24.
Play and Taram and shit. Yeah, but he was really good. Yeah, okay. And the Netherlands. I mean, you know, Memphis was still lively. I don't know.
He had that one run where he just beat a guy, megged a guy, got a shot. I was like, holy fuck! Like he's gonna hat trick today, and then he just like didn't.
I just think Austria aren't going to be able to cope. I think that.
Yeah, you know. I mean, Memphis is definitely on my radar for wild card team.
I mean, maybe Genie. You know,
Genie's
maybe
cheaper option, who was also, by the way, fucking amazing.
Yeah, he was
like,
amazing.
He had like
so many
five shots and was just everywhere. So, yeah, I think they're both really good shouts this week against Austria.
I mean, Austria, we were assuming they're going to play three at the back. I mean, maybe it's, you know, maybe it is going to be, you know, you want the on runner, you want the guy who's right. making the late run instead of like the guy who Alaba is going to be like man marking and honing in on with right, Memphis right. or something, you know, something like that.
There's so, also, yeah, maybe Genie's a. Oh, actually, now that you say that, with your theory of like maybe they were prepping for Netherlands, that actually makes so much sense. Because there's no other reason Alaba's the deepest player on your team other than he's the only one that can defend Memphis on our entire in our entire 11. Like he's only one that can keep up with Memphis, mark Memphis, tackle Memphis in our entire team.
I mean, the other reason is that you don't really need to practice that against North Macedonia, and maybe you know could have lost that game, but yeah, maybe I don't know.
No, whatever. I'm just saying. No, I know, and I know, also I know. Like. Probably not for a wildcard team, but Weghorst was fucking good. Yeah, and, like, he's seven, very, and he's not getting dropped. Like, he's good.
Yeah, he's very active. Because, I mean, there are more than a non-zero amount of teams that, you know, had, like, a Che and don't want to use a chip, and the rest of my team's fine, you know. Yeah, I mean, Weghorst at seven was a good pick. Yeah, looked good.
Yep.
Okay. So, Friday, that's the England game, so... Yeah, I mean, I still just think Kane.
I think Kane. I honestly have a very hard time picking another cap that day.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, for me, it's Raz would be the other guy, but he could not start or could get subbed on 60 or
I think like
could have zero shots.
I think Forsberg's not insane.
I think I would rather cap a Swedish defender, honestly. I feel better about the clean than I do.
Them scoring a couple goals. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, Kane is in there and more England players potentially.
Yeah.
And then last day is
France Hungary.
Yeah. So there's like a French defender, Spanish defender, and that's basically it. There's no one else capable on that day.
Yeah. Portugal, Germany. You don't want anything.
No
there.
Fucking chance. The only way. There'd be a chance of that is if France do what we think they might do. And like if Germany are really bad and just get hit on the counter over and over again, then like we could talk about Portugal. But as of now, definitely not.
Yeah. Okay. So that's about it.
We have the teams we like.
Yeah.
Now we just need to like turn it into a team. Do we do that on the pod or do we just spare the people?
I don't have it in me right now, honestly.
What'd you say?
I don't think I have it in me right now.
Okay. So we'll do it tomorrow.
Yeah, let's do it tomorrow.
I've been kind of dialing in the names we're talking about like while we're talking. So I think I have like our core.
Just don't push the like chip click.
No, I'm not pushing. I'm just like screenshotting. Yeah. And then we'll just fill it out like we did last time. We'll pick
obviously we need to watch the games tomorrow.
We need to watch the games and enjoy the anthems and enjoy the fun. Discord it's been so great.
Yeah, it has been really good. It's been really
like my routine is like wake up, make coffee, watch the first game, set an alarm for 45 minutes, not an hour, because I need to make sure to catch the anthems, and then like usually make food or something, watch the second game, set another 45 minute alarm, which is either nap or more food, watch the third game, and then it's just like great day. I just had a great day.
Tomorrow, though, there's only two, so there's no early game.
What should I even do? I don't know. I'll just stay up later. Or keep it the same. Same flow.
Just chase it. Just push it back 3 hours.
Yeah, just pushing the boundaries, baby. Easy. I'm always up late on pod nights anyway. It'll work out.
All right.
We got so many fucking anuses to slap. We got so many new signups.
I don't understand that at all.
I think we got botted. We got botted.
I think we got. Did all the checks clear in the mail?
I don't know.
Oh God. Hope so.
I mean, basically, what
should
happened
we just
was,
make the pod fucking all pay pods or something?
No.
Like, is that what it takes? We have like fucking 20, 30 people sign up because
I think
we have one pod behind the paywall.
I think part of it was that we never, you don't do social media, but I never even post about the Patreon or anything. Like, it's almost
so
just
you
like
need to start posting it every week.
Yeah, like, I think I should.
So it's your fault.
It's my fault.
It makes me feel better about myself.
I've been robbing the pod, robbing the hood all the time. But yeah, I don't know.
That's me and you, though.
Yeah, well, it feels bad. But I do lots of self-sabotage, and this isn't new. This is on brand right now.
So new non-self-sabotage is you're going to start telling people when we do our Patreon pods?
Yeah, I guess so.
All right, but I think also
it was just like, because we always get our most signups before game week one FPL, and it was just it was like just that,
that
it was a little bit of that. That's everyone just fucking freaking out day before, hour and a half long pod. Like, get the fuck in my ears. I need to sign up right now. Get me my mom's credit card. We're going in. You know that's true for like half of the fucking people who sign up. I'm gonna name them all right now. We got Ryan Harrison, Patful, David Kendall, Craig Wood, Evgeny, MB, Ryan Fleming, Andrew King, Sam, Peterless Penn, Joe March, Bobby Bowery, Paul, Richard Lewis, Patrick Viewig, Ian McGinnity, Dan Brad, Miramir, Garsancho, Panza de la Mancha, Young Woo, Matt Youngfield, Roddy Richarlison, Luke Story, Ellis Warren, S. Longering, Roswell 27, and Stuart Crawley. Get the fuck right there. Slap all your asses. Let's go, dude. Let's fucking, dude, we're fucking flying.
Guys.
Let's fucking go. I'm jacked up right now.
You're fucking on one right now. I'm like so tired.
I know. It's
8:30 here. I'm like ready to go to sleep.
Oh
here.
My
like,
god! I haven't even. The hills are alive with the sound of music, brother.
You're ready for a little Joe Poe and some more excitement.
Any last words from you?
When are we potting next?
Ooh, good one, Luxy.
There's Friday.
Yeah, it's always the day, the night before the last day. So Friday night.
Wow, that'll be ooh. We're going to get two team sheets on match day 3? Or did they not update the times yet?
On mine, it says 9-12-3.
No, on match
on match day
3.
Three?
That might be spicy meatball.
I'm doing the pards dance. Like
That's not bad.
I just Goran Pandev knee slide shimmied my way into that. The one other thing we didn't talk about really, really quick that I just remembered is also... Ah, fuck it. I mean, I was just going to say, like, Limitless on match day 3, there might not even be, like, premiums to choose from. Like, if all of these top teams just have 6 points, then it's like, we're going to have, like, DCL, Bloody, and, like, you know what I mean?
Honestly, I'm, like, remembering back, like, there were a lot of teams in match day 3 that had, like, 8 players. Of 15. Like, the rotation is insane.
Yeah,
tournaments on this type of
thing. I brought that up on the Patreon, the aforementioned Patreon, but I think it was France, Italy.
It was entire B team.
And it was entire B team.
Yeah. No one was left alive.
Not anyone. Yeah. Like, maybe one or two players or something.
Yeah. Yeah, so, no. So that is a sell for Limitless in match day 2.
It is, yeah, because there's a chance that there's just, like, not even places to spend the money.
Yeah, no, that's true. Okay, well, that's one to file.
We'll figure that out, and I'll see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
Check at fmlpl.com, follow us on Twitter at fmlpl, sports, patreon.com/fmlpl, subscribe, rate, and share.